Hey guys, Cassie here. Hey guys, Cassie here. I just wanted to give a little disclaimer before this episode. We used the same software we used last week. We thought it sounded really good last week. And now, for some reason, this week it decided to throw in some static there. We did what we could to fix that, but it's not where we would ideally like it to be. I know we've said this before, but we think we've got another solution figured out. So hopefully next week's episode won't have this. It's not throughout the entire thing, but it does come in and out. So we just wanted to kind of give that little disclaimer. Hopefully it doesn't take away from the episode too much. We hope you guys still enjoy it, and we'll see you again next week. And until then, be Heartland kind, but Darkland wary.
Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I am Shannon.
And I'm Cassie.
Hey.
Hey, hi. How's it going?
I mean, it's going. I feel like we need to say something. Like, I know on the Morbid podcast, they always say, hey, weirdos. So I don't want to call you guys weirdos, and I also don't want to steal their thing. So we need something else. I don't know. What should we call everybody?
Well, I mean, we discussed calling everyone Dark Hearts, like our listener Dark Hearts, but I just feel weird because, like, after we do our little Welcome to Heartland, Darkland, and we introduce ourselves, then I don't know how to, like, say hi or continue on.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I like Dark Hearts. Do you guys like that? That's kind of fun, right? We talked about calling our fans Dark Hearts.
Yeah. What do you guys think? Do you like Dark Hearts? Do you have different ideas?
Yeah. Yeah, we're not always that creative, and we definitely will take any suggestions. And maybe if someone comes up with something really good that we love, maybe we'll give you something. I don't know. We didn't talk about this ahead of time, Cassie, but I just came up with that.
We decide we're going to give people things.
Yeah, come up with a really good idea, like a contest situation, and then maybe we'll send you something. But I guess
we already have a contest going.
But if someone comes up with something really good, I mean, I would pay out of my pocket and send them something because I'm not creative. So, but speaking of our contest, do you want to remind everybody kind of what's going on?
Yes. So if you guys can rate and review, if you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and you send us proof that you did that, if we can get up into the top 200 for the Apple charts, then we're going to do a giveaway. I think we kind of said we're going to do a tote bag, which I should post a picture of the one you got me for my birthday.
Yeah.
So people see the coolness of it all.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's super sweet. So, if you guys could rate and review, I mean, anywhere that allows you to, we super appreciate it. And like, so with Spotify and Apple Podcasts, rating and reviewing really helps us out because that's what helps us to be like more visible. So more people see us. Like, I try to post links to our stuff and like all of the things, all the Facebook I can find, I post us to, which actually, oh, hey, puppy saying hi. But I posted to a true crime podcast Facebook page. And in the course of that, I started talking with a lovely woman named Leslie, and her and her friend Amber have a podcast called The Grimm Mystics, and that's Grimm Mystics. They have Facebook and Instagram, but if you guys love our podcast, I know for me personally, when I'm all caught up with a podcast I love, I need something to like get me through the next week until their episode is out. Yeah, they have like 20 some episodes right now. Leslie and I have been messaging back and forth. I told her, I was like, I feel like the four of us should be podcast besties because we seem like listening to them. I'm constantly like, oh my God, this is Shannon and I. This is totally something we'd say. This is how we talk. This is how we react. We go off on tangents. So clearly, if you guys don't mind that, these women do that too. And I have been binging their podcast as I can. I love it. It's so fun. They're And they're not, like, you know, we're just Heartland. And they're in the Colorado area, so Colorado's actually not part of the Heartland.
I know. I was actually surprised when I looked that up. I just assumed it was, but...
Right. So they're covering more cases around the world. You know, we're just sticking to the United States. So they've got a lot of fun stuff there. They do some of the kind of, like, we do with the, like, paranormal and stuff like that as well. So it's... They're us. If you like us, you're gonna like them. I seriously, every time I listen to it, I like message Leslie. I'm like, seriously, this is totally what I would have said.
That's so funny. I need to go check that out. I actually have them on my list, but I haven't had a minute to go in. But now that I know that we have like soul sisters somewhere else.
Yes, they're a little younger than us. You know, I think they were born in the early 90s, but that's okay.
Probably mature, as it's fine. Age is just a number, right?
It is, but I haven't like talked personally with Amber, but I've been talking with Leslie a lot, and she's the sweetest. So I just wanted to give them a shout out. I've been loving their podcast, so I figured, you know, if you guys are like me and you're like, okay, but like I hate waiting every week, I need something else, go check them out. They're wonderful too. So
that's put that in the show notes, right?
Thanks. Yes, I will put. Yeah, I'll put theirs in the show notes, and you know, try to even tag them in our post. Or maybe I'll just share something too this week with that, and tag them like their Facebook and their Instagram. So.
Cool. Yeah. Cause I know I've had a couple people ask me what podcast I recommend as far as stuff that's like similar to ours. So I'm super excited that you found that one. And we can help them out. Help us out. That's fun.
Right. And again, like I'm seriously like, this is Shannon and I. Like, so
that's it's like
listening to us talk. I love it. So that's all I've got. I don't think that we really have much more to go over.
I don't think so. I mean, I can just kind of start. This week, I'm going to be sharing a little scary story for you. I mean, I don't know if it's not scary. Don't get excited. It's not paranormal. Oh. I know. I mean, it's scary in the sense that anytime some kind of crime happens, it's scary that this stuff happens right in front of our eyes, you know, but okay. So no, sorry, wrong choice of words. It's not scary, but this week we're in Kansas. I know, I got you excited. Don't worry, I won't ever be doing a UFO story, but I will listen to yours, you know, it's fine. It's good stuff. So this one, I actually... remember this case happening. I don't know if many of you will or not. Cassie, I guess I don't even know if you know this one. But this was in like 2007 that this happened. So we're going to be in Kansas this week because we haven't really covered anything in good old Kansas yet. So
is this the girl who got kidnapped from Target?
Yes. How did you know it? You know, it's funny. I wasn't going to do it actually because I was like, is this kind of too well known? But then it just kept popping up and I was like, I told a couple people about it that they didn't know about it. And so I was like, okay, I'll do it.
So I remember it because, again, I was close to her age. And I also watched on the ID channel, which
is amazing.
Did you?
Evil.
Yes.
I've actually watched it. I watched it again before when I was researching the case. I had seen it before, but I rewatched it. And honestly... Okay, like it's good and I'll give them all the details about that, but it's a little cheesy and I feel like they leave out a lot of big things that, I mean, which I understand the premise of that show is to focus on certain points. So, yes.
I liked seeing the video, like seeing those video evidence ones. Like there was another case, I don't remember where it took place at, but like the stepdad killed his stepdaughter and stuff. And just the way they figured these things out with video. Hold on, Finley. Sorry, I've got a... Okay, 1 second. Sorry, I've got a little one. We're trying to record at a different time.
He sounds really cute. It's okay, because she has a cute little voice.
We'll just have her...
Dogs barking. It's fine.
But yeah, so it's funny because I don't know, when you said Kansas, and then I was just like, oh my God. So, none of that did not know. I legitimately guessed it.
That's, see, this is how I know that you and I are like... on one wavelength here because we just know the things. And like, you'll say something in a message to me and I'm like, oh my God, I was just going to tell you that or say that. So yeah, I mean, I can start, but if,
no, yeah, you go ahead and start. I'm going to mute myself and I'll chime in to see what this little one wants. So
yeah, that's 1000%. Okay. So we're going to be in Kansas. We're not in Kansas anymore, but we are in Kansas, turns out. Also, I had to make that reference because Cassie, she went, and I actually, we both went and saw Wicked because it was in Omaha this weekend, and it was amazing, or this past like month, but I had
to make it, it was so good. Oh my God, I loved it. It was the first time I'd ever seen it. It was amazing. I cried a little bit. It was all the way.
I grew up like total show choir nerd in high school and all the things. And so always have been obsessed with it. And it's always been on like my bucket list. And I'm like, okay, it's here. We're going. So we took my parents for their birthdays because they have the same birthday. So we figured that was a nice little combine. I'm like, this is a Mother's Day, Father's Day, birthday, Christmas. It's going to be all the gifts for all the things. Anyway, Kansas. Wicked is connected to Wizard of Oz, for those of you that don't know, but that's a whole separate thing. So this week we are in Kansas, Dorothy. Okay, Dorothy. But we're not going to be talking about Dorothy. We're going to be talking about Kelsey. So Kelsey Smith is the main person we will be talking about this week. So it's in Overland Park, Kansas. I got my information from several different resources, but like we had touched on before on the ID channel, Investigation Discovery, you can watch the episode on there as well. We'll put that in the show notes too, but just for those of you who are, you know, familiar with different shows, it's the See No Evil. It was actually their very first episode, season one, episode one. And it was called, the name of that was We See You, Kelsey. So we're going to talk about Kelsey, kind of just her background a little bit, like we usually do, kind of give you a general idea of who she was. So she was born on May 3rd, 1989. So when this all takes place, this is 2007, 10 days after she graduates high school, if that kind of puts things into perspective there. So she was born to Greg and Missy Smith. She was the third of five children. And her family always teased her that she had the middle child syndrome, but she would always tease them back that she was the, quote, planned child of the bunch. So they all were super close. They said she was very headstrong. She had a huge heart, especially for her siblings. So if her parents took her, Kelsey, somewhere, she wouldn't let them buy her a treat unless they were buying treats for her siblings, too, to take home to them. So that just shows you what kind of person. I would be like, yeah, no. This is my time to shine. I want my treat and my brother does not need anything. Thank you.
Right? That's a super nice. I mean, I love my sister. She's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, this is about me. Thank you.
Yeah. That's what I'm like. No, no, sorry. You have your time. This is my time. But that just shows you what kind of person she was. And they said that she was like, just so thoughtful that she always, like in high school, she'd give her friends bouquets of balloons on their birthdays, and that she would even get up super early in the morning to run to the store before going to school just to do things like that. So she was just like a thoughtful, sweet person. So, okay.
You're getting choppy again.
Is it better now? Am I maybe talking too fast?
No, maybe back up a little bit. Maybe you're too close.
Is that better?
A little bit.
Do you guys like that you get to listen to us experiment with our software?
Maybe it won't sound so bad. Maybe we can edit it out.
I mean, like, we'll give it a go.
Yeah, let's see. Okay, so sorry. So she would get up early. I maybe missed a little bit. You said she got up super early.
Oh, yeah. She would get up super early to go get her friends' gifts on their birthday. So, like, she would get up early and go buy bouquets of balloons to take to school. So she was just like so thoughtful. I mean, I'm sorry, teenagers like their sleep. So if you're getting up early to do that, then you love your friends. So, you know, even from a young age, they said she loved to explore and she was always super inquisitive and she questioned things. She was never afraid to try new things. So her favorite color was blue, which spawned a nickname of Blueberry when she was little. She was super creative and even showed her young age,
or her young age, sorry, showed her talent at a young age by drawing on the walls with permanent marker.
Oh, fun. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I know these are all just little random facts, but it's just nice to put, you know, a personality with a victim just so you know, how they are. And so she also loved to sing. She loved music. So then when she was older and in high school, she participated in track, theater, a writer's workshop, art, choir, and marching band, which was actually her true passion. So she loved marching band so much that she actually chose to attend the Kansas State University because they're known, I guess, for having one of the best marching band programs. Did not know that. But yeah, so she was going to go to school to obviously do that there, but then she wanted to long-term become a veterinarian. So that was her kind of life goal there. So she graduates, and then 10 days later, this we're going to start talking about the crime itself, and then we'll kind of piece together what happened. So Kelsey was last seen at 7:07 p.m. on June 2nd of 2007. She, well, let's see here, sorry. Trying to find my stuff. I was trying to piece together all of it because I remember when this happened and seeing it in the news. So, you know, it was just, it's crazy. But so she was going to Target. She was going to get a present for her boyfriend. They were celebrating being together for 6 months, which at that age, like, that's a big thing. Okay. You know, and at that age, I feel like you celebrate like, oh, it's been a week. It's been 2 weeks. It's, I don't know.
It's to me. See, for some reason, when I remembered it, I thought it was like their 4 month anniversary. But yeah, I knew it was like, I knew it was an anniversary.
Yeah, which is sweet. And I'm like, that's sweet. So that's what her, you know, deal was. She was going to run and get him a gift. So like I said, she was last seen then at 7:07. I am in the Target parking lot at 97th and, okay, Quivira. I don't know. I just wanted to put those streets and names in there because people in that area will be more familiar with that. But that's behind, the Target was basically behind Oak Park Mall in Overland, Kansas. So she goes shopping, and while she's shopping, she calls her mom because she couldn't find where the gift boxes were. And so her mom said, try the stationery area, you know, just kind of a brief call. And she told her that she loved her and she would see her when she got home. So
I just have to say, I still, at 34 years old, and myself call my mom when I'm at the store. I'm like, where the hell would this be?
Yes. I do the same thing. I'm trying to think what it was. It was some random item the other day. And I was like, why can't I find it? It was something that was like Velveeta or something. And it's like in the baking aisle, which first of all, shelled cheese is iffy to begin with.
I still love me some Velveeta.
I know. Me too. And I think, and I'm like, I call my mom and I'm like, with all the technology, you think we would just Google it or whatever, but that's what moms are for, right?
Right. I mean, I know technically I could go into like whatever store app I'm in and probably like search it and find out exactly where it is. But sometimes I'm still like, okay, if this is what I want, where the hell would it be?
Yes, exactly. And
my poor kids will probably not have to ever do that because I feel like they both have better sense of direction even than I do. So yeah.
Same.
It'll probably be fine for them, but I'm glad to know that that's not just a me thing.
No. And it's like my kid, yeah, basically has grown up in Target, so she could walk it blindfolded and find the things.
We're right.
Cassie.
Right. Both of my kids love Target. So,
oh, yeah. I mean, I love Target and I'm a 36-year-old woman. So,
who doesn't love Target?
No, I need to go there today, as a matter of fact, and I'm already excited about it to get my going for my one item, but and you know, end up leaving with 20. It's fine.
That's why I did pickup, and because I just needed sunblock. And I'm not gonna lie, last year I found it at the beginning and then I couldn't find it again, so I probably should have bought more. I really like the brand, and this isn't an ad. Sunbun.
Yes, oh, it smells good.
It smells good, and then they come with, like, 70 proof, and being that I'm covered in tattoos, when I'm outside, I really need those protected.
I know. And
my kids and stuff, and then they even had, like, a face one that was 70 proof, so I'm like, well, I'm going to get them both. It's a little pricey.
I love the, like, deodorant stick ones, because I used to just rub it all over my tattoos, which now I'm like, that's just too much to worry about. Just fade away, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, see, I that's why I like to spray, because I know I can hit everything.
That's and true.
I just spray it because I burn and tan so easily. And since I've got new artwork on my
right. Oh, for sure. Yeah. You got some fresh stuff here.
Yeah. So that was a fun little tangent about sunblock and tattoos.
And yeah. So, I mean, I think.
Box.
Yeah, a gift box stationery. I love that that was added in when I was researching. And I thought I'm adding that because that just shows you that it's normal for girls to call their moms when they can't find things in Target. So,
right.
That being said, that was her last call that she made, was to her mother. So then it seemed that once she had left the store, she had completely disappeared. So we're going to kind of talk about this a little bit more here. So shortly after her last call to her mom, you know, she checks out, that you can see her on the security camera leave, never comes home. So her boyfriend, whose name was John, he had showed up to her house in the meantime because they had plans to celebrate their anniversary that night, obviously. So she had just run to the store, it sounds like, just shortly ahead of them having plans to hang out. So she wasn't home when he got there. So he just waited and visited with her family a little bit. And it was about a half hour later that they all kind of started to get worried. She still wasn't home and she wasn't answering any calls. And her mom said that Kelsey was always the kind of person to call and let them know when she was running late, even if it was just by a couple minutes, because she knew that her mom would worry and she hated when they worried. So even more of a red flag that she had not come home or called. So at this point, you know, her dad's like, well, maybe her car broke down or she's having issues. Maybe her cell phone died, all the things. Why don't you guys go to Target? So John, the boyfriend, and then one of her sisters, not sure of the name, but her sister, they go together to Target to look for her. So, you know, they were just thinking that it was maybe car problems at this point. But so they leave, they go to go look. Kelsey's mom is thinking that she's maybe been in a car accident and that she needed help. So Kelsey's dad, it actually kind of worked out well that he's a cop. So he was off duty, obviously, at the time. But he calls around dispatch and asks if anyone has seen any accidents or knew of anything that had gone on that maybe Kelsey had possibly been involved in. And there was no reports of any accidents. So there's no sign of her. So at this point, I say that a lot. I just noticed that. So sorry, everybody, at this point. So now, we'll just say now. It's funny, side note, tangent, well, not really, but when you listen back to these, you hear yourself say things over and over. And I'm like, do I use that phrase a lot? Yes, that is one of them that I do. And I just needed to call that out on myself. Sorry.
Listen, that's why I make you listen to our podcast. And I just do the editing and you listen to it, because I don't like to listen to myself to begin with. And so I just force you to do that.
You know, it's fine. But then I keep thinking, oh, I say that a lot. I'm not going to say it. But here we are. And I'm saying it again. I say at this point, and I also say, you know, a bunch. So I'm just going to call myself out and roast myself on that. I will try not to. So back to what I was saying. At this point, there was no sign of her. So they all decided to start driving around and kind of looking around for her or see if they can find any sign of her. So let's see, 4 hours after Kelsey disappeared, John, the boyfriend, and her sister, they're still driving around. They hadn't seen her at Target. Her car wasn't there. So they kind of don't even know where to look anymore, but they just decide to drive across the street to the mall parking lot. And as they're driving around there, they spot her car. So she had a 1987 Buick Regal, which was just found parked outside of Macy's parking lot of the Oak Park Mall, which is, like I said before, right across the street from the Target. So they call and tell Kelsey's dad, and her dad, you know, being a cop, he immediately worries and knows that just from his police background, it's never a good sign when a car is found somewhere else that it shouldn't be and no one's in it. So he says this, you know, it could potentially be a crime scene. And so not to touch anything. I mean, they look inside and stuff through the windows. And I mean, they know she's not in there, obviously, but they wait. And so they call, he calls in
the cops and the forensics team, they arrive and they, you know, they look in the car and they see her purse is still in the car with her wallet, along with all the items that she had purchased at Target. So everything is still in there. There was even something. Oh, go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt, but can I just say, no one else would have gotten that quick of a response from the police because her dad was a police officer. And, like, I wish that wasn't the case, because otherwise it's, like, so many times you hear, like, oh, well, give it some time. They might just have, like, done this or that, or they could have been in there, or they maybe got someone else. And, like, even if you're, like, yeah, there's stuff still in here, they'd be, like, well, you know?
That is so...
I mean, I'm glad she got that, but can we just point out...
Yeah, what? I feel like also when parents, like, know their children and they know that something's off, people need, like, to respect that. I get occasionally you'll get the person who is way off, but as parents, like, you have a good gut instinct mostly on your kids, and, like, knowing your child and knowing they wouldn't just run off and all of that. I wish that was taken more seriously, but unfortunately it's the people that, you know, do run away that kind of, like, ruin it for everyone else to have a better chance of being heard, I guess.
Yeah, but I feel like police should just take it all like it's a kidnapping.
Exactly. Because think about how many lives could be potentially saved if that was the case.
Because, like, the first 48 hours is the most critical. And I guess, I don't even know, I haven't looked up, like, I know it used to be, like, they were like, oh, wait 24 hours if someone's... I was like, that makes no sense. You've lost half the time of the most important time. And, like, I don't know if that's still a thing. I mean, I prayed my higher power that nothing ever happens, that I have to call for something. But if that came up, oh, they'd be annoyed because I'd be calling every time. But no, I'm going to keep calling until you take me seriously.
Yes, exactly. And it's funny that you mentioned the 48 hours thing, because I have that in here in my notes somewhere. But yeah, like, her dad even mentions, you know, that he knows that they basically have 48 hours before their chances of finding her go significantly down. So yeah. I'm glad that they did listen to him. And I think it helps too that they were so pushy about it. But I mean, obviously, like, knowing these people and being family friends with a lot of them, like, they have that.
Right. Well, like, hey, one of ours, so we're gonna...
Yes.
Go do it right away, which I know they got evidence and stuff like that. I'll let you tell the story, but I was just like,
yeah.
I'm like,
no, you're good.
No one else would have gotten the cops.
It's so true. And who just has, like, forensic, you know, on speed dial? Let me just call my forensics team, which, okay, I mean, there's probably more to it, but the stuff that I read that just gives you the basic information is what happened there. So, okay, so forensics, they come, they find all those things, and there was even something hanging out of the back of the truck, or not of the truck, I'm sorry, of her car. And the video, like, that I saw, it just looked like a sleeve of a shirt or something. They described it as, like, a tail is what it kind of looked like hanging out of there. So they didn't want to open it until forensics was there, of course. And Kelsey's mom, in her interview, she said they hoped that she was in there, but prayed that she wasn't, because they just couldn't bear not knowing where she was. So they opened the trunk and there was nothing out of the norm in there. Just was a shirt sleeve and other random things that teenage girls might have in their cars, you know, notebooks, some random shoes, that kind of thing. So they don't have a lot, to go off of that far. So they look at the Macy's surveillance tape to see what time her car was parked there. So it shows the car arriving at 9:17 p.m., which was only 2 hours after she had left Target. You see the car park and you see a figure in, like, a white shirt with dark pants or shorts leaving the vehicle and running towards the street. It was too dark to even tell if it was a male or a female. You just see the car parked and then run. And so, you know, then they start interviewing people, and of course they have to start with her parents. And so the parents talked about, they knew, like, her dad knew that's just protocol, and he just was like, let's get through this so you can eliminate us so we can continue to help look for our daughter. So of course they get, you know, eliminated from all the things and they're cleared. So then they decided to really focus in on John, her boyfriend. So you know, the cops said that they generally focus on the last person to either, you know, have contact with the person missing or someone who possibly knew where she was going. So they questioned John for at least a couple hours, and they said they pressed him really, really hard. And they found, though, that he had nothing to hide. He had a solid alibi. And so he was released quickly. And they talked to him on that documentary, too. And he said, like, he just could not understand why they were asking him. You know, I mean, he's 18 at the time.
And probably not into true crime and doesn't understand that it's usually the husband, boyfriend.
Right. Yeah, the butler, according to my daughter. My daughter says it's always the butler. And I was like, who has butlers?
Okay. That reminds me, though, my sister said in like one of our last episodes when we were talking about being in a car on the phone in the garage, whatever, that it sounded like Clue.
Yeah, exactly. And we're a little obsessed with Clue around our house right now, too. That seems to be our big game we like to play.
I mean, and it's a fun one.
Yeah, so we're doing it in the car with a phone. I don't know how you kill someone with a phone, but you could be in a car and do it. You could hit him with it. These phones are pretty heavy.
Yeah, if you hit him just right, or he broke it and you like stabbed him with broken shards.
Yeah, we're getting weird.
Yeah, we're not trying to tell you how to murder someone with a phone. So, so he doesn't understand why they're questioning him so hard. And I'm sure.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say because at 18. They don't really fully get it. But also, depending on what they were asking him and stuff, part of his alibi is her own parents,
right?
One of whom is
pop. And so he just seems like a sweet guy.
Yeah. Like, it just doesn't feel like it should have taken hours to eliminate him.
I agree. And he was, like, traumatized. He said he was so worked up because he was worried about her, too. And so he was like, why are you wasting time on me? You need to find where she is, you know? So they really like have nothing right now to go off of, because anyone that could potentially know where she is, they don't. So that's the end of that day. So then the next day, and before that too, the mom, this is so true. I mean, anyone who's even just a worried mom, she said she couldn't eat because she was worried, you know, was her daughter eating? She couldn't sleep. Was her daughter able to sleep? And I just think, like, how awful, just like the unknown of knowing if they're alive or dead or not, you know? And so I think that was just sad. I didn't even put that in my notes, but I was just thinking about how she mentioned all that. And so, like, that just kind of shows you the state of where they're at this moment. And so they decide the next day that they're going to start their own, you know, search throughout town. So they print flyers, and then her dad decides to kind of lead that search team. So he assigns people to different areas of the town, and they literally went door to door knocking, asking people if they'd seen her, and just anything they could possibly grasp at. So, you know, they knew that they had that 48 hours basically to find her. So they're really working hard to try to find her. So even the detective said that, you know, since they knew the family, they had a really hard time not getting too emotionally involved in all of it, but they really tried to focus because they didn't want to lose sight of what they were doing. So they're really just like grasping at straws and not sure what to do. They had already looked at Target's like surveillance, and I mean, they didn't see anything out of the norm. They had seen her go in, shop, and leave. So they decide that they're going to look at it more. And I guess I did not know this was back in 2007, but Target apparently is really known for having cutting edge surveillance.
Yeah, so I remember watching that and not realizing how much surveillance they had in their store, because, and I know you're going to say this, so sorry, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, but I remember watching it and they saw her in multiple parts of the store.
Like, you can basically map her entire visit and what she's looking at, and it's like, okay, so don't pick your nose, anybody, or pick a wedgie because they're watching. No, just kidding. But I mean, not really, because I mean, it's insane. They just use a huge array of cameras, and this was even back in 2007, and I'm sure after something like this happens, which we'll talk about more obviously, but I'm sure their stuff is even more high tech now. I mean, it's been 15 years, you know, so like, imagine if it was that good then, what it's probably like now.
Right. And then I just think about, like, when I go to Target and I don't have like a time crunch and I'm all alone, I ping pong around Target and I go back to sections. So if I ever went missing and Target was the last I went, they would be like, what the hell is she doing? How many times does she have to go to these different sections? Wasn't she just in there?
Yep. Why? They would be like, this girl is, they don't know how indecisive I am. Oh, she just looked at that. Well, she decided she didn't need it. Oh, well, now she needs it. Does she really need it? No, she's going to go back over here. No, she changed her mind. She needs it. Like,
yep, that's exactly it. I'll go back. But do I want this though? Let's go look at the book. Maybe I can.
That is 100% accurate. That's so hopefully we never go missing. And I think that's part of the reason too, that this case I wanted to talk about, because I feel like so many moms, people, girls, anybody really frequents Target. And you just think that's like one of your normal places and you just aren't on your top, you know, like you're not really super aware of your surroundings always because it's a comfortable place.
Like it's my happy place. Like I go. And how do you not feel good? And like, if I have that time to just be free on my own, like, yeah, I'm just wandering and doing my thing and not even thinking, which especially being someone who's into true crime.
Right.
You think I'd be better about that. I mean, obviously we have a story where I had the weird dude approach me and I was a model or some crap while I was at Target. But, and that was like, dude, you're weird. But right. I'm not observed. Like, that's one thing. Like, I can be so unobservant.
Same. And I try to think I am. Well, I feel that I am, but I also, stories like this make me way more aware of things, but it's still scary because this was like still daylight. Well, I mean, okay, when I get, we can discuss that more, I guess, as I send another crime. But one other funny thing, I have a friend who her husband calls Target Satan's house because he's like, she spends so much money when she goes and comes back and it's awful. But anyway, thought that was kind of a funny one. So
that's why I like pick up now, so I don't buy a bunch of stuff I don't need.
Especially in the little dollar area, I'm like, oh, this is so adorable for my house. And I end up like spending more in that area thinking, oh, it's only a dollar or $3 or $5. And it's not that.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
So Target surveillance team and cameras are on point is where we're at. So they are able to even use or enhance those cameras through their forensic services division at Target. So they're able to do that. I'm not sure exactly what that all entails, but
Target has their own forensic service.
Uh-huh. And this was in 2007. Yeah. It said the cameras can be enhanced through the Target Forensic Services Division.
That's crazy.
I just love Target even more now. So
right.
yeah. So they're able to like really look at it. So once they get the videos enhanced, they are able to, first of all, you know, see her pull into the parking lot because they have cameras, many in the parking lot as well as inside the store, of course, which is good because I feel like a lot of places don't have them outside and that's when generally things happen. So like my brother, this is a side note too, and it's a crime story. Sorry, I'm going off on a weird tangent, but on his honeymoon, as a matter of fact, they were staying in Denver overnight because then they were flying out the next day. They were at a really nice hotel. I can't think of what it was, but his car got stolen from that parking lot and they had no cameras. And so they never found it. Thankfully they had taken in their luggage and like passports and everything because they were like leaving the country. And so they just got screwed on that. And even the cops there were like, oh yeah, your car's already probably been stripped of parts and sold within hours. So I think.
Sorry, another weird tangent to go off that piggybacks on that. My sister's car was stolen from the Westroads Mall parking lot when she worked there, and they did have cameras, which I didn't know, but they're oscillating, so they like rotate. So these people either got super lucky or knew, and you see her parking and walking in, and then the thing pans away, and by the time it comes back, her car is already gone. So the police have told her, like, your car is one of the easiest to steal. I think this was her Kia Rio. This was. She's had so many. But it was one of those. And, like, it's probably stripped, all these things. And then a month later, I was at the movies when the rave was still hopping, you know? And, like,
That theater was so nice when it first opened.
Yes, and now it's so trashy.
I'm like, I would never, I don't touch anything in there. You'll get, I don't know.
Remember, and I went there not this last Valentine's Day, but the one before, because that's where I took him, because we rented the theater. But anyways, and I'm like, wow, this used to be so nice, and now everywhere else is updated and you have it. But anyways, so we were there watching one of the, I think it was the last, it was the very last Fast and Furious that Paul Rudd was in, because I remember crying at the end because they had a little thing for him.
R.I.P.
Yes. But Jesse called me while I was in there. And so I was like, hey, I'll call you right back. And I come out, she's like, you're not going to get, she's like, I came out of work and you're never going to believe it. I was like, your car's there. She's like, yes, they brought it back. It was
parked, oh my gosh.
Like, it was parked a few like lanes over from where she was. Everything was still in it. Like the cops were like, okay, don't touch anything. Wait till we get there. We need to just search it. Make sure there's nothing crazy in it. The gas was even like at where it was at, like when she had it.
Okay, that's really eerie and weird. Did they watch the cameras and see, or was it, of course, at the wrong moment when it was dropped off again?
I don't know if they ever then cared enough to look at the cameras. And like, I don't think she could ask, or I don't remember if they looked at the cameras enough, but I know they don't know. But it was just the weirdest thing. So I just, that was a weird story. And had to share that since you talked about your brother's car being stolen. And I know we're like way off tangent now. Yeah, but well, yeah.
It's so true, like, though. Important.
Yeah.
So thankfully they had that. So they could literally confirm she had gone to where she said she was going. They saw her buy her items. She didn't meet anybody there. She left. So they watch her walking in. They see her even when she's in Target on her phone. They see the moment when she's on the phone with her mom. They said she was like in and out of Target within like 15 minutes. So super weird. So they watch her even leave the store and they watch her car drive away. They were like just super stumped because, like I had said before, she didn't talk to anyone, see anybody she knew. I mean, the only person she talked to was the cashier that checked her out. And even the cashier, when they, you know, interviewed her, she said she didn't notice anything unusual or out of the norm about her behavior. It was just small talk as she paid and left. So they kind of just don't even know what to do. So they just keep watching the surveillance over and over. So then they're slowing it down a lot. So they're watching when she goes to her car. So they watch her walk to her car. She opens her passenger door, puts her Target bag, and she had a big roll of wrapping paper. I just remember seeing this on the news for carrying it out of the store, and sets it all on the passenger side. And then she walks behind the trunk around to the driver's door, gets in and drives away. So at first, nothing really seemed out of the norm when they're watching this, but they kept rewatching it to see if anything happened. So they finally slow it down enough that when you see her walking up to the driver's door and opening it, there was a white flash that just goes in the direction of her car. And they, when they see it, you know, the detective, she just said, she said, oh my God, did you see that? Do play it again. And they kept replaying it. It just gives you goosebumps because you know how those are like, what's the word? Delayed a little bit or staggered.
Yeah.
You just see this flash. And then when they kept slowing it down, you see a white shirt and you can tell somebody is running up behind her and pushes her into her car. But it happens so quickly that you would have never even seen it unless you were watching it that slow.
Right. I remember when I was watching that episode and they were showing that part, like it took a moment. I was like, I don't get what they're seeing until they were like really pointing it out. I was like, holy cow. Cause is that okay? I'm probably getting ahead, but is that when they finally go back and they rewatch the inside and they see, okay.
So yes. So, well, and with that too, they even on this documentary, which if I can find like a still photo of it, I will post it. I could always screenshot it off the documentary, but they, you know, black everything out around it and they highlight it where you just see it running towards her. So they think whoever it was runs towards her, charges at her, forces her into the car, and then shuts the door. And then they said there's about a 10 to 15 second hesitation before the car actually drives off. So after they make this discovery, Kelsey's dad immediately says that now he knows that this is like real, that it wasn't a prank. She wasn't trying to pull some prank, which they're like, she's not that kind of person to do that. She wasn't like mad at him and ran off. They knew now that this was like
something real, and they all just felt so powerless. And so, so they decide then, like, where do you go from there? You know, there's someone charged at her, you know, you just see this white figure. So they decide, they go back, they watch all of the footage again of her shopping in Target, up and down every single aisle. So as they keep watching it, they notice in every single aisle that she's in, there was a white male who looked like he was in his 20s, wearing a white shirt, and he had on dark shorts, which is actually the same match of the person in the surveillance tape from Macy's that they noticed leaving her car. So they see that this guy, when they go back, he entered the store Target about 30 seconds after Kelsey. And he's in almost every single part of the footage that shows her, but he was always at like a discreet distance from her. And it's just creepy because you see her shopping, not even paying any attention and noticing him. And you see him several times looking at her and just in her direction. You see his head turning and looking at her. He made no effort though to like talk to her or approach her in the store. He just follows her around, and they said he was definitely not shopping. He was just trolling. So they were even able, when he left the store, they got a super clear picture of him off the surveillance. Because, you know, at Target, I know, like, my kid, I don't know if they still have it. You know, some do probably, when you walk in the camera where you can see yourself on it, you know. But it's like one of those where, like, if you, it's the clearest picture ever of him. So he leaves the store. Like, when she goes up to pay, you see him rush out of the store very quickly. Like, it was really obvious he wanted to get outside before she did. So he doesn't buy anything. He just goes and leaves. So he's out there. And so while they're viewing all this footage, they're like, well, if he came in, you know, right after her, well, then when did he get there? So they go back and they watch the footage. They see, you know, all these different cars coming and going. Then they see, like, it's like a 1970s blue Chevy truck coming to Target and gets there, like, right before she does. So they also then go back and look after they find her car at Macy's. They go back to Target's footage surveillance, and they look at 917 and after. Any car that left after that 917 from when her car was dumped. And they see, shortly after that, they see that same pickup leaving Target. So when he pulls into Target, arriving first at Target, he drives right by the main front doors, and they can stop the camera, and you see he has his arm hanging out the window. He's wearing a white shirt. They zoom in. It's that same guy. So then now they have enough information to tie him to this truck. So they don't know what else to do except to release, you know, the pictures, the videos to the media. So then they have this extensive public campaign to find her. They even ran the story on America's Most Wanted and Nancy Grace and, you know, all the things, because they still have nothing. So they receive about 2,000 tips just from the picture of him and the truck. But not all of the tips were really helpful, and they didn't even know where to begin looking, because that could just take forever to look into every tip. So eventually a woman who sees the news calls in, says that she recognizes the suspect as one of her neighbors, and she said that she was able to confirm that when she saw the truck information. She knew that that's who the guy looked like, and he drove a truck like that. So she calls the tip in. So she gives them his name, and his name is Edwin Hall, but he goes by Jack. So Edwin Hall. So then on the evening of June 6th, 2007, just, you know, 4 days after, I think, Edwin Jack Hall of Olathe, Kansas, that's where he was from, was arrested.
So Olathe.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I looked it up right before we did this, because I thought it was Olathe, and Google, they said Olathe. So is there two different ones? It was spelled the same way. So guys, I'm sorry. According to Google, it says it's Olathe. I thought it was Olathe because there's an E, but I don't know.
Yeah, Kansas people, if you're listening, is it Olathe? Olathe?
That's so funny you call me out on that, because I even looked it up to say it right. And so that's where he was from. I guess I didn't need to say that, but I needed to. Now I mean,
I regret it now, but no.
Sorry, I was trying to call you out.
No, you're good. So the cops go to his house, and ironically, he's in the process of leaving for vacation, he says. He was loading bags and boxes into a vehicle. So he lives in this house with his wife and 4-year-old son. So, you know, he's pretty cooperative. They take him in and question him. And he initially claimed he had not seen her, but that he was at Target. Then eventually he admits he did see her. And he remembers that she was cute and had nice legs. His words. So, you know, while they're interviewing him and doing all the things, they're still checking for evidence around. So they had checked her car that they found. They checked it for fingerprints, and they were able to isolate all of those people with legitimate reasons to actually be in her car, you know, like her friends and boyfriends. So after they had done that, they did find an unidentified fingerprint on the seatbelt release in her car. So this comes back while he's being interviewed or interrogated, because they had run his prints and it was a match to him. So now he's caught in a lie. So now he admits that he was stalking her at Target. Okay. So during all of this time, kind of on the same realm of things, the police are trying to get phone records and whatnot, so they can try to see if they can get a ping off of where her cell phone is, because they still don't know where she's at. So it took Verizon 4 days to hand over the cell records. So this caused like a huge controversy. I said that really weird with it. And this actually comes into play later on. But because it took so long to get them, you know, it just put everything on a standstill. So a Verizon tech, once they're able to release the records, the tech was able to pinpoint a cell phone tower that her phone had pinged off of. And so this was on June 2nd that he was able to find this ping. And based off that, the tech told the investigators to search 1.1 mile north of that tower. And within 45 minutes on June 6th, around 1:30 p.m., Kelsey's body was found in a wooded area near Longview Lake in Grandview, Missouri, which was about 18 to 20 miles from where the Target was that Kelsey was taken. So now it's crossed state lines. So that is another issue later. But, you know, all of that stuff is so close. FBI, right? Yeah. So that's what they, then when all this goes to trial, they do try to argue that it should be a federal crime because it crossed state lines. And they were just like, we just want the most severe punishment that we can get him.
Right.
For. And so, but they ended up just keeping it in Kansas because they said he was arrested in Kansas. Technically the crime was committed in Kansas, whatever. But that does, it was mentioned at one point that it could have been a federal crime because of that. So, yeah. So then they're able to arrest him. So Edwin Hall was charged with premeditated first degree murder and aggravated kidnapping at this point. So let me scroll down here. So then it was also determined that her cause of death was strangulation, and she was choked with her own belt, and that she was also sexually assaulted. So they had found her clothing strung around, and then they found her body. She was nude when they found her. So investigators believed that Edwin had spotted Kelsey driving into the Target parking lot after he had arrived. He noticed that she was alone, and he followed her into the store to make sure that she wasn't meeting anyone there. When she was about to leave, he went to his truck and got a gun. He waited until she was the most vulnerable, which was getting ready to leave. Then he struck. He forced her into her car, and they think he jumped in the backseat and held the gun up, you know, to her head and forced her to drive about 20 miles away, where he ended up raping her, and then he strangled her. So Edwin had no adult criminal record, but he did have a juvenile record of assault. So he had been adopted at the age of 7, but he was returned to state custody at the age of 15 after he had threatened his family's daughter with a knife. He had also assaulted another boy with a baseball bat by striking him in the head. Jeez. So, yeah, so he had that in the background, but
The police do not believe that he knew Kelsey at all because he had admitted to being at Target and just said that he had never approached her. Oops, hold on. Sorry. I realized I copied and pasted something. I already said that to you. My bad. So, yeah, they don't think he knew her, though. You know, it was just completely random. So they, after he's arrested on the 6th and he is arraigned via a video hookup on June 7th, he didn't say anything. He just sat there quiet, and his bond was set at $5 million. So he's waiting for all the, you know, the trial and all the things. And then on August 1st, he was actually charged by a grand jury with murder, rape, and aggravated sodomy.
Ew.
I know. Which is terrible. And I hate that they even say that because it just makes it so much more vicious, like knowing what happened, you know?
Yeah. Well, so, and then you're aggravated to begin with. And like, I don't know if that's just, I mean, like part of what it's called, because if it's, I mean, it,
yeah, I looked it up because I wasn't quite sure. And it just meant like forcibly.
Okay. I don't know. Either way, I mean, sodomy, you know, when they're like, oh, they were sodomized and stuff, it's horrible.
Horrible.
But when you add aggravated, I just sound so much more violent, like, which it already is.
Right.
I don't know. I always imagine it being way more violent than it, like, horribly. Either way, it's a horrible, horrible
and, like,
thing.
Sexual assault is bad enough, but, like, you don't, I mean, I think about, like, her family, I'm like, you just don't even want to know that part, you know? Like, she was raped, and now we know that, and it just makes it worse. And it almost, like, dehumanizes? Is that a word?
Yeah,
dehumanizes the victim, and you don't want that for them either. You know, it's just...
Well, and I think just saying that, like, I mean, I think on the perpetrator's part, that's exactly what they're trying to do, dehumanize. Yeah. But I think that, like, those of us with empathy and stuff listening to it, like... It doesn't dehumanize them. It just like you're just horrified for them. You're like, God, that poor girl, to imagine what she went through before she was then killed. Like how scary and painful and just like I just
I know. And that's why like reading that, it's just like, oh my gosh, you put yourself in their shoes and you think, what was going through their mind at that time? You know? And so, you know, I just said it again. But yeah, so it's just awful. So because of all those charges, he's technically eligible for the death penalty, which the prosecution decides to seek, of course.
Good.
So on July 23rd, which was actually supposed to be a change of venue hearing, the court was packed with family, friends, and reporters. It was even broadcast live on all four of the Kansas City TV network affiliates. So this is what just supposed to be a change of venue, but Edwin, as part of a plea deal, pleads guilty to all four charges at that.
Was it so
change
so
of venue?
So they would take death off the table?
Correct. So because of his guilty plea, he also gave a full confession. So then they just sentenced him to life with no parole. So he was also able to avoid going to trial, and which, thank God, for the family's sake. I feel like you don't need to relive every dirty detail. And I mean, everyone has mixed feelings on the death penalty, but I'm like, I hope he is miserable the rest of his life. And he's so young that, like, I feel like that is more of a punishment, you know, but not always on where you're
right
at and what you get.
I go back and forth on it. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, they, you know, but then it's like, that's true. Like sometimes, I don't know, like I'm so torn. I'm so torn.
I know. Well, and it's like you want it to be like an eye for an eye, like, okay, then we'll do what you did to her to you. But then, you know, that's why I'm like the electric chair and all that stuff, it's like that seems more fair as far as a painful experience. But then I'm like, I want you to live every day knowing you're never leaving this shithole too,
right?
You know,
but then there's a part with, like,
it's a toss.
One of the podcasts I listened to, like in Small Town Murder, they brought up that like they're not really for the death penalty, but then they're like, but then again, like maybe like in the cases where, you know, 100% sure, like, you know, but then like it should be like the victim's family gets to do what they will with them. And I'm like, yes. But then also like, well, but then we go into the whole planty thing, which sometimes I'm like, I'm not really mad about it. Like,
yeah, I know. Like,
it, like the guy.
Yeah, that's just a hot topic, and it could really, it's really circumstantial, yeah. I feel like, on a lot of things. But so he, you know, is there forever, but he and Court apologized for his actions. Didn't really say what he said or if it felt sincere, yeah. But he's currently serving his sentence in Hutchinson Correctional Facility in Hutchinson, Kansas. Police also asked him about several other murders in the Midwest area that weren't solved and were kind of similar. And he said that this was the first time that he would actually had killed anybody, and he had nothing to do with any of the others. And the lead investigator that had talked to him on the documentary, he even says that as like a cop, he has an instinct that he's lying. But
I think this was too well done. The fact, like, mm-hmm. how he knew to rush her so he wasn't caught on camera. I remember watching that and thinking, there's no way this was his first one. Also, though, like, my question is, but I feel like it never answered. Like, I feel like I don't remember. There was something in the show that I felt like it seemed like the wife had to have known, kind of. And, like, nothing's ever done yeah. with that.
I spent a lot of time looking that up as well. Like, I found her name. I've Googled her. Facebook looked her up. I mean, I didn't message her. But I figured, you know, and if this was in 2007 and his kid was 4 then, you know, think about how old he is now. And so I thought, how would she not know? And why wouldn't you be like, hey, why are you on the news for this? Why are we moving? Oh, we're going on vacation, but taking all of our things. Like, and I did read, the only thing I could really find was that she was at every court hearing and whatnot.
Right. I don't know. Because then it's like, one, wouldn't you be like, where the hell's your truck? What's this car? Whose car is this?
Right.
Where have you been?
Yes.
And that, yeah, for your, can you imagine
why
child? No. Because now his son is around his age now that he was when he committed mm-hmm. this crime, yeah. And so it just makes you wonder, like, yeah, because I remember watching it and being like, there's no way she didn't know. I know why. There was something within the show, I feel like, that they just portrayed it. I'm like, there's no way she couldn't have known.
I know, and I feel like they didn't touch on that enough. Just like that other case I had done a while back about Jessica O'Grady, the girl in Omaha that was killed and never found, yeah. And had the other girlfriend who
left,
you know, allegedly stayed at his house. Not, yeah. I just feel like there's so many more things. And they even asked if he did it alone. And cops said that they weren't ruling it out, but they also didn't have, you know, evidence that he had. And not that she had a part of it, but like how, I don't know. I feel like they should have talked more about what, I mean, they would have had to say like, hey, where was your husband at this day? Where, yeah. You know, like all the things, but there was really not a lot of that. So I don't know. It's very odd, but yeah, for him to just, he said he had just gone to Target that day looking for someone to attack. It's like, do you just suddenly get that urge to act upon that?
There's no way that was his first time.
No. He, yeah, had it planned out. And he went there with a gun, too, yeah. Which is interesting to me that he had the gun, but he didn't use it to kill her. But I did read that she had fought back because there were several defensive wounds. So good for her. But, you know, it's still just so sad. So, like, Kelsey's mom even said, yeah, Ed, like, how she died, and that's all part of her story. But Edwin, they don't want him to be really a part of her story. Yeah, he's the means to how her story ended. But other than that, like, she had so much more life that she lived that he doesn't even get yeah. that, you know? So her dad said that there's a quote by Lincoln that's something to the effect of, it's not the years in your life that matter, it's the life in your years. And that's her epitaph that's on her headstone.
Aww.
So that on there. And actually, it's kind of cool because, you know, obviously good things can come from bad, because they were able to start this Kelsey Smith Act. So it's a nonprofit organization, and it provides law enforcement with a way to quickly obtain the location and the wireless telecommunications device if a person who has been determined by law
enforcement to be at risk of death or serious physical harm due to being kidnapped or missing. So they said they could have found her a lot sooner, and not that it necessarily would have saved her life, but because there was such a holdup on getting her phone records released, they had to live with that. I mean, that's, you know, for a parent, days is like an eternity. And so they started this, and it's pretty cool because 30 states have already passed this legislation, like something similar to that. And it's, they're trying to make it a federal thing. And so this act that they have, they even offer different programs. So like they'll offer seminars for safety awareness. They have safety, like seminars for parents to learn how to keep their children safe, just safety in general. And they even have like a law enforcement training on safety. And then they customize different seminars to come in to, depending on, you know, a school, a workplace, where they teach all these things about just being safe. So I think that's pretty cool. And so the website too, if anyone ever wants to check that out, it's kelseysarmy.org, which we'll put in the show notes as well. I spent a lot of time looking at that on there because they have like, I got a lot of my information as far as her as a person, what she was like, and then, you know, why they're starting this. And there's, you know, things on there that you can donate to. And since she just celebrated her birthday, would have been, I think I said it was May 2nd. I saw they did like a fundraiser in there for her birthday and stuff. So that's kind of cool that they have that. But other than that, I mean, that's the case of Kelsey Smith, who went missing in broad daylight. So I think a lot of it too, is just like nowadays you just hear these stories about people being taken and not being aware of their surroundings. And I think it's so important. I mean, the first thing I do when I get in my car at any store, right from coming, getting in, I lock my doors immediately. And, you know, it's just little things. Don't walk in and be looking at your phone or walking out on your phone. And I don't know if people know, because I told someone this the other day and they had no idea. You can ask management at stores to walk you out, or have their security team walk you to your car. Like if you're ever feeling unsafe. And, you know, I think it's super easy like to feel paranoid. Like there's times I've been in Target even, and I'm like, I feel like that person was just in that aisle I was in, but then it like keeps happening. I'm like, okay, it's either because we're like walking just opposite ways through the groceries, or it's weird that they're still walking through every aisle. You have to just be aware, like, but they don't have anything to
start. Although,
and why are they always in this?
About me as I'm walking through, there was like, she was just over here. What is she doing? Like,
yeah. Why is this girl so interested in murder mystery books? Why does she keep coming? But really, like, I just think some of those things you just kind of take for granted because it is Target and you're like, this is a nice area. It's a nice store. But people like that, like not even just this Edwin character, but like with all like the trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking, they're really good at being able to identify people who are easy targets. And as far as like acting it out, they have several people. I have to give a shout out to this lady. I mean, she doesn't know me, she doesn't listen, but I think maybe I told you, Cassie. So I got in a little fender bender the other day, and the lady wasn't in her car. I was in a parking lot and I was going in a store. And so I didn't want to just like leave, and I didn't know how to find her. So I put a note on her windshield in case. And I came out, she was sitting in her car, like getting ready to leave. Thankfully she was still there, but the note was still on her windshield. So she obviously had not seen it. And so I went over to her car, and it was an older lady. She was like 70s, I would say. And she had her window like cracked a little bit. And as soon as she saw me walking towards her car, I heard her lock her doors and she rolled her window up. And I was like, of course, initially I was annoyed, like, dude, really, I'm trying to talk to you. I hit your car. But she just kept shaking her head no, and like, no, no. And I kept saying, I'm sorry, like, I hit your car, you know. And then when she finally got out, I said, you know, I'm so sorry, like, I frightened you. I wasn't trying to. And I was like annoyed, but then I thought, good for this lady for being aware. Like, I feel like those are the people who are easy targets too, like the older people. Yeah. But like, who knows? I could have been a decoy for someone to distract her. And then
women are used as decoys all the time. And that reminds me, like, when Devlin was like, oh gosh, two, he had like stomach issues. And I remember it distinctly. It was 4th of July. My husband wasn't home. It was just me and him. And it was like midnight. And I had to run to Walgreens to pick up something for him because we were out of like medicine to help with his stomach. And we were coming back home. And it's like 1 a.m. at this point, and there's someone on the side of the road in the shadows in our neighborhood, like away from a streetlight, and they're like trying to flag me down. And at first I'm not thinking, and I start to slow down, roll down my window, and then I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, Cassie? And I hear them cursing me out, but it's like, one, you could, there's a gas station you could easily walk to. Two, right. How do you not have a cell phone? Three, knock on another house. Like, why are you parked here if you don't know someone here? You're not from this area. I'm not about to stop so you can abduct me, especially when I
walk to a public place. Like, gas stations are generally open. Even wherever you're, like, at, if you're in a neighborhood, you're probably close enough to walk to a public place.
Okay, so you know where my house is. Walking to Come and Go.
Right, that was my first
thought. Isn't that
fun? Well, I was going to say that Fairway, but that's also not open all the time.
That wasn't there at all. It was still that abandoned farmhouse, which I still really miss.
Which was really creepy and weird because it's in the middle of town, but also gave me such an eerie vibe that
Loved it so much. It looked like a place that would be haunted, but it's like surrounded by city because you know it used to be farmland there. I'm so sad that Boys Town has sold all of their like farm and redeveloping so much.
It looks so city-like and it makes me really sad too.
That's why I like that we're in an older neighborhood and there's just an empty field and we get foxes and possums and all sorts of stuff I love having the door camera. I have told my husband we need more cameras surrounding our house now because did I tell you about the other morning when my puppy Wickwood got sick? I remember telling you about that, but did I tell you how I saw the people walking in our driveway?
Yes.
So creepy. And there I posted it to Nextdoor, you know, to let people know like nothing happened with ours, although we have had my husband had his Jeep stolen and found it.
That's enough. I forgot about that.
That one was damaged. You know, he's had stuff stolen. But anyway, so it's like apparently there was a group of like six people going around in that night and doing it. And it's so shady. I'm like, okay, we need more than just our doorbell camera now. Gonna need one on the side of our house and the back of our house. Like, also when my daughter's a teenager, I don't like if she continues with the personality she has now, I for sure see her trying to sneak out. So I'm gonna need cameras to make sure she doesn't.
We just like put these big giant motion lights in my backyard because there's some sketch stuff. And so
they were up in our driveway and we have our light that's always on, but it gets brighter as motion comes up.
And they didn't even like run or anything.
No, it was funny because then like where we're at is like surprisingly busy. Like I'll look at like the notifications for overnight and there have been so many cars that have drive by at like 1 and then 3 and then 4, and so this was around 4 in the morning, and so a car came by and you could see them split apart so it looked like they were together, which is like there's two people at 4 a.m in front of a house that's already gonna look weird, like whatever. But then as soon as the car goes away, they both turn around and head in the opposite direction. And actually one of my neighbors, it turns out she's like, of course, the one night I leave my car unlocked, you know, and they had rifled through it. But luckily, she said that she didn't have anything in there for them to take, you know. Just like, come on, people. So, yeah, now I'm like, I need all of the cameras surrounding my house. Thank you.
Even then, it's eerie because mine, you know, will pick up someone walking through my front yard. But then I woke up the other morning and there was one that said, unfamiliar face at door, and that's like means like close instead of just motion. And it was at like 4 a.m so of course I'm watching it and I was so creeped out because I was like going really really slow to see nothing. And I'm like it was creepy though because like it doesn't really do that unless an actual person is at the door, and I kept fixing it, and then I hate when it randomly says camera offline for like one minute and then it's back on. So yeah, we're on a tangent again. But also, we're not advertising for Ring or Nest, but we probably should because
listen, I love having a doorbell camera. It's coming so handy for us. But then like, yeah, I want more cameras. I kind of like having cameras in the house. Like I've caught some creepy stuff on my daughter's monitor. Don't you remember when she was a newborn? I'm 98% sure I sent it to you when I caught that orb.
Yes, the orb. Yes, okay. I was like, I forgot about that though.
I have had some weird stuff coming through the house again lately. I need a sage again. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's become attractive to me.
You know, and maybe they're nice though.
I mean, I haven't had anything like well, I told you about my leg being shaken, like I was awake, like to shake me awake, right? When Dublin was on summer or on his spring break.
Just this past year? Oh, you didn't tell me this. Oh my god,
it was like I thought Trevor came home and was like, "Why are you still asleep?" Because I went back to bed because Dublin didn't have to go to school. And it was like that forceful of like pushing my leg to be like, "Hey, wake up. What are you doing?" And I like jerked awake. Nothing there. Dogs are still chill and everything.
That's super creepy. I don't like that at all.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right. There have been a few other things, like my door, my front door opening, which I was like, okay, it was a windy day. Maybe that's all it was. There was something else. Now I can't remember. So yeah. You know, the other morning, Trevor had fallen asleep downstairs and I was sleeping in bed. And I woke up because it sounded like either the dogs fighting or barking or something. And so I woke up, but they were both just laying there. So, yeah.
I also hate when dogs will just stare at random things and growl and bark, which the other, my puppy, well, she's not a puppy.
There's one yet.
She's still my baby. She'll see her reflection and growl because I could see her. She was looking in our fireplace and could see it, and she was losing her freaking mind.
So that herself in my mirror.
Yes, I always have to turn mirrors around. So and then the other day, though, she was looking just down at the front door, and she was just, and then Charlie, my other dog, went running over there, and they were just staring and barking. I'm like, let's go inside, you know, and I'm immediately pulling open my doorbell camera app to see if something's out there. Nope.
Yep. No, I hear you. Yep. Same way. But yeah, that was a super long, all sorts of tangents going off there. So great, Kate. Thank you for telling us about that.
And thanks for listening. Now we're not in Kansas anymore. I just need that other. Yeah. That's like not even a dad joke. It's like even worse than a dad joke. That's just a joke. I'm not even going to say mom jokes are better than dad jokes.
I love the dad joke.
If you haven't heard that one, oh, it's a sad one. They're all so sad. But this one is just, I feel like it's a good one to remind yourself to just be aware that you can, I mean, anything can happen, whether it's daytime or not, good part of town or right. not. So all I have.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Just, you know, remind people, like, hit us up. Social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to just hear from you. Questions, comments, nice comments, constructive criticism that isn't rude. Story ideas. Again, not just Nebraska. Like, we love your ideas, guys, and we have them down. But we do need help with other states, too. Like, if you've got suggestions.
Right.
And it doesn't have to just be true crime. Remember, I love a good cryptid, paranormal, UFO or alien.
I like paranormal.
The cryptids are so fun. I'm still trying to figure out Bigfoot in Nebraska. I haven't found anything legit. Like, I'm not saying I think Bigfoot's legit. I'm not saying I don't think he's legit. I'm on the fence.
Improve story about it. Yeah. I know someone had messaged me saying that their family had some experiences with that in Nebraska. So if you get to that point, I will reach out to her.
Emily. If they can email us or tell us, like, I want to hear if they have a Bigfoot experience, because I know we have the Bigfoot Museum. Yeah, I want to make a trip to Hastings just for that.
I mean, I'm okay, like, learning about the Loch Ness Monster. Does that count?
Oh, so I did look at, there is something similar to the Loch Ness Monster from Nebraska.
Huh.
It turned out to, like, legit be a hoax, like, someone who was known for doing this stuff, but I guess the town it's in, because this is one thing I was looking up a Nebraska case, I was looking for cryptids or whatever, and this came up, and I was like, okay, but, like, it's, like, legit fake, they're like, yeah, it's 100% fake, but the town still claims it, so I was like, nah. But I want to hear Bigfoot stories. Listen, if you're from, you know, some from the Heartland, not Nebraska ones, I want to hear them. Any, like, tall tale, folk tale stuff from towns, like, I love those, you know? So,
and yeah, we're also not professional, like, lawyers or, I would just, I mean, you guys know, but I know we've had a few cases where people want to share some weird theories and stuff with us, which I'm all about, but also some of those, it's like, we can't really cross into that area with things not being solved or for like safety issues.
Yes.
Of things. So we do appreciate all the ideas and stuff, but I mean, it needs to be something we're able to look up yeah. to find information on, I guess, yeah. if that makes
like
sense.
We can't just go off of conjecture from some one person, you know, like there needs yeah. to be like something that we can actually read and cite and source. Also, like, I know we've had some people mention like the Johnny Gosch case, and maybe we'll cover that at some point, but I mean, Netflix has a documentary on that. Even I feel like that's a really well-known one, and that one has so many different like conspiracies tied into it and stuff. Like, maybe one day we'll come to that one, but that's not one that we're going to probably get to anytime soon. I know, just because I know that one is really well known. I've listened to several different podcasts about it, you know, the Netflix documentary, and there is, like, I one of the podcasts talked about, like, all the different, like, conspiracy theories with Boys Town and a Nebraska senator and even presidents and stuff like
yeah.
that, and, like, a sex ring and... You know, I'm not saying that's outside the realm of possibility, but for the most part, like, we're trying to go more so, unless it's, like, going to be a fun, lighthearted episode where we can, like, talk about conspiracy theories. For a case like that,
yeah.
real families and real victims, I don't really want to go down conspiracy theories.
And a lot of it is opinion-based, too, that we hear, which is fine. But, yeah, once again, like she said, like, for our own safety, I'm not about ready to start digging in to some, all these different theories on things of cases that are not solved, because you just don't know.
Yeah.
So we appreciate it. But yeah, send us everything else. And like, yeah, if you can find at least something or give us a name to look up, that's what we
yeah.
need. And then we're, I think if when we can see that there's public information about
yeah.
it.
If you want to just contact us and tell us your thoughts and feelings on a case, like 100%, but just know that like, we're not going to necessarily bring that as an episode and stuff like that too. Like we, you know, we're not professionals in any case. And we're not going to try to solve things like, you know, with my last episode, you know, I just wanted to draw attention to that. I don't think that we can solve it, but if I know we don't have like some huge following, but if somehow someone, you know, we hears it and they can motivate it more, like, fantastic.
Right.
Like, we just want to draw attention to these things and give it another voice if need be, but we're not trying to solve things. Like, oh my god, it would be amazing if somehow our podcast led to something being solved, but like,
right. Well, and I actually had my dad, as a matter of fact, listen to that case, and he had all these different thoughts and opinions on it and theories that I was like, oh, like, I hadn't thought about that, which remind me to tell you that separately
yes.
when we're not recording, but it was really interesting. And so sometimes people just have a different thought or insight to it that we don't. So that's like really cool to hear. Those
yeah.
ideas.
So like totally comment on any of our posts about that or email us or message us with just like your comment. Like we totally will have discussions with you about it. Like not saying we won't,
yeah.
but I mean, we're not going to try to do a full episode with our thoughts and opinions and conspiracies.
Right.
I mean, I know we kind
well,
of have our thoughts a little bit, but we're not trying to.
Yeah. Well, and even go back on our old posts from some of those stories we've done. And it just because it's in the past doesn't mean we're still not going to talk about it or give updates when things happen. Because
yeah.
I know some of the things will keep changing. So we want to keep you up to date on them. And if you happen to know something about those cases that has changed since then, that's awesome. And thank you for everyone who's already done a review and sent it in. We've gotten several names already that have done that. So thank you. We have you guys entered in to the contest
yeah.
and remind your friends and family to do that as well.
Yeah. So again, just
and
review, please.
Yes. Rate and review. That's what we ask of you.
But until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.